Welcome to Zichud Dasi Money. I'm Rabbi Avram Golda, and today we're Zechus Bamitzia, Daf Kuf Gimel. The end of the 8th parak of Shaul Zapara, and the beginning of the 9th parak, HaMakabel. The 8th parak has been generously sponsored by Nishmas, Rav Yaakov Moshe ben Rav Binyamin Yosef al Hashalom. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, Rav Nachman said that if one rents out his house for 10 years and wrote an undated shtar for the tenant certifying the term of the lease, and later claims that the tenant already lived there for 5 years, while the tenant claims he only lived there for 3, the landlord is believed. Since his property is always in his possession, the tenant must prove his right to 7 more years, despite his holding a shtar verifying his 10-year lease. Rav Acha of Divti asked Ravina that if someone borrowed 1,000 zuz with the shtar and later claims he paid half the loan, is he believed? He is not, which demonstrates that the lender's possession of the shtar is sufficient proof to collect the entire amount. Ravina responded that regarding a shtar of debt, shtar l'gavyanakai, the document's purpose is for collection. Therefore, if any amount had been paid, the borrower should have made sure to record this in the shtar itself or demand a receipt. In this case of a property lease, the owner can say, "This that I wrote a shtar for you was only so you should not take possession of my property after living there for 3 years." Point number two, the 9th parak begins, "Makabel sadam achaver, one who leases a field from his fellow, either as an aris, where each takes a percentage of the crop, or as a hocher, where the farmer pays a fixed amount of produce, makam shenagel yiksor yiksor, in a place where farmers customarily cut the crops, he cuts them, lakor yakor, if they customarily uproot them, he uproots them, lacharosh acharav yacharosh, if they customarily plow the field after harvesting, he plows it, hakol kaminhag medina, everything follows the local custom." Abrais explains that Shnei Ma'akvin Zeh Azeh, both the owner and the farmer, can prevent one another from doing differently than the local custom to either cut the crops or uproot them. The owner may prefer cutting to uprooting, hoping that the stubble will fertilize the field, and the farmer may prefer cutting because it's less work. On the other hand, the owner may prefer uprooting, which will completely clear his land, and the farmer may prefer to uproot the crop in order to feed the straw to his animals. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if one leased a field which was irrigated by a stream or included a fruit tree, providing additional produce without effort, if the stream dried up or the tree was cut down, he does not deduct from his rent because of the loss. However, if the tenant originally said, lease me this irrigated field, or this field containing a tree, indicating that the rate he was paying was because of these benefits, then he does deduct from his rental if the stream dries up or the tree is cut down. The Gemara said if the main river dried up, that's a makas medina, a general calamity, in which case the tenant may deduct from his rent as taught in Daf Kufei Amud Beis. Rapapa explains the Yavish Nahar Zuta, the cases where the small stream dried up and the landowner can tell the farmer that he can fetch water from elsewhere by pail. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Nachman said that if one rents out his house for 10 years and wrote an undated shtar for the tenant certifying the term of the lease, and later claims that the tenant already lived there for 5 years, while the tenant claims he only lived there for 3, the landlord is believed. Since his property is always in his possession, the tenant must prove his right to 7 more years, despite his holding a shtar verifying his 10-year lease. Rav Acha of Divti asked Ravina that if someone borrowed 1,000 zuz with the shtar and later claims he paid half the loan, is he believed? He is not, which demonstrates that the lender's possession of the shtar is sufficient proof to collect the entire amount. Ravina responded that regarding a shtar of debt, shtar l'gavyanakai, the document's purpose is for collection. Therefore, if any amount had been paid, the borrower should have made sure to record this in the shtar itself or demand a receipt. In this case of a property lease, the owner can say, "This that I wrote a shtar for you was only so you should not take possession of my property after living there for 3 years." Point number two, the 9th parak begins, "Makabel sadam achaver, one who leases a field from his fellow, either as an aris, where each takes a percentage of the crop, or as a hocher, where the farmer pays a fixed amount of produce, makam shenagel yiksor yiksor, in a place where farmers customarily cut the crops, he cuts them, lakor yakor, if they customarily uproot them, he uproots them, lacharosh acharav yacharosh, if they customarily plow the field after harvesting, he plows it, hakol kaminhag medina, everything follows the local custom." Abrais explains that Shnei Ma'akvin Zeh Azeh, both the owner and the farmer, can prevent one another from doing differently than the local custom to either cut the crops or uproot them. The owner may prefer cutting to uprooting, hoping that the stubble will fertilize the field, and the farmer may prefer cutting because it's less work. On the other hand, the owner may prefer uprooting, which will completely clear his land, and the farmer may prefer to uproot the crop in order to feed the straw to his animals. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if one leased a field which was irrigated by a stream or included a fruit tree, providing additional produce without effort, if the stream dried up or the tree was cut down, Eino menachlo min chakoro. He does not deduct from his rent because of the loss. However, if the tenant originally said, chakoro li sada beis ha-shlachin zo, lease me this irrigated field, or sada beis ha-iwan ze, or this field containing a tree, indicating that the rate he was paying was because of these benefits, then he does deduct from his rental if the stream dries up or the tree is cut down. The Gemara said if the main river dried up, that's a makas medina, a general calamity, in which case the tenant may deduct from his rent, as taught in Daf Kufei Amud Beis. Rapapa explains the Yavish Nahar Zuta, the cases where the small stream dried up and the landowner can tell the farmer that he can fetch water from elsewhere by pail. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Kuf Gimel, and our standard Siman is Kugel, and we use Yerushalmi Kugel to make the Siman more distinct. So here goes. The Yerushalmi Kugel cook who rented a house in the shape of a Yerushalmi Kugel for 10 years with an undated shtar and was now in a dispute with the landlord regarding how long he lived there, was plowing a field he leased after harvesting the grain, according to the Minhag Medina, when he noticed that the stream which irrigated the field and provided water for him to cook the noodles had dried up. Once again, it's a motion. The Yerushalmi Kugel cook, Yerushalmi Kugel, that must be one duff. Kuf Gimel. The Yerushalmi Kugel cook who rented a house in the shape of a Yerushalmi Kugel for 10 years with an undated shtar and was now in a dispute with the landlord regarding how long he lived there, which reminds us what Nachman said, that if one rents out his house for 10 years and wrote an undated shtar for the tenant, certifying the term of the lease, and later claims that the tenant already lived there for 5 years, while the tenant claims he only lived there for 3, the landlord is believed, since his property is always in his possession, the tenant must prove his right to 7 more years, despite his holding a shtar for verifying his 10-year lease. So the Yerushalmi Kugel cook who rented a house in the shape of a Yerushalmi Kugel for 10 years with an undated shtar and was now in a dispute with the landlord regarding how long he lived there, was plowing a field he leased after harvesting the grain, according to the Minhag Medina, which reminds us the 9th parak begins, a makabel sada mechevera, one who leases a field from his fellow, either as an aris, where he each takes a percentage of the crop, or as a hocher, where the farmer pays a fixed amount of produce. In a place where farmers customarily cut the crops, he cuts them. If they customarily uproot them, he uproots them. If they customarily plow the field after harvesting, he plows it. Hakok Minhag Medina. Everything follows the local custom. So the Yerushalmi cook who rented a house in the shape of a Yerushalmi Kugel for 10 years with an undated shtar and was now in a dispute with the landlord regarding how long he lived there, was plowing a field he leased after harvesting the grain according to the Minhag Medina, when he noticed that the stream which irrigated the field and provided water for him to cook the noodles had dried up, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that if one leased a field which was irrigated by a stream or included a fruit tree providing additional produce without effort, if the stream dried up or the tree was cut down, Eino menachlo min chakoro, he does not deduct from his rent because of the loss. However, if the tenant originally said, lease me this irrigated field, or this field containing a tree, indicating that the rate he was paying was because of these benefits, then he does deduct from his rental if the stream dries up or the tree is cut down. So once again, the Yerushalmi Kugel cook who rented a house in the shape of a Yerushalmi Kugel for 10 years with an undated shtar and was now in a dispute with the landlord regarding how long he lived there, was plowing a field he leased after harvesting the grain according to the Minhag Medina, when he noticed that the stream which irrigated the field and provided water for him to cook the noodles had dried up. All right, so now it's time for a 4-blah-bah chazara. Daf Tzadi Tess, so the similar Daf Tzadi Tess is a cheetah. So here goes. The cheetah, that must be on Daf Tzadi Tess. The cheetah owner's Eva Kanani, who wasn't too sure if the one who wanted to borrow the cheetah was wise to tell him to strike it with a stick and will come to me, making him immediately liable, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if the owner sent a cow with his own slave at the borrower's request, the borrower is immediately liable. Rav says the Mishnah can refer to an Eva Kanani, but the case is, as the Gemara concludes, where the borrower said, strike it with a stick and will come to me. Rav ruled about such a case, as soon as it left the lender's domain and died, the borrower is liable. So the cheetah owner's Eva Kanani, who wasn't too sure if the one who wanted to borrow the cheetah was wise to tell him to strike it with a stick and will come to me, making him immediately liable, just as the one who lent him a hatchet to protect himself asked for it back before he could use it, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokas, if a borrower acquires the item with usage or mashicha, such as in the case of one who borrowed a hatchet and the owner wants to retract. So the cheetah owner's Eva Kanani, who wasn't too sure if the one who wanted to borrow the cheetah was wise to tell him to strike it with a stick and will come to me, making him immediately liable, just as the one who had lent him a hatchet to protect himself asked for it back before he could use it, knows the cheetah had its eyes on a thief who stole a cake of pressed dates, which contained 50 dates, and was selling it for 49 prutos, which reminds us, Shmuel said that if one stole a cake of pressed dates, which contains 50 dates, which are sold together for 49 prutos, but can be sold individually for a pruta each, totaling 50. Then if the cake belonged to an ordinary person, he pays 49. But if it belonged to Agnes, she pays 50 plus the additional surcharge of a fifth. The Gemara explains that although the private owner can claim he would have sold the dates individually, so his loss is 50 prutos, a Mishnah teaches that damages of crops are assessed not based on their own value, but in the broader context of the field's selling value. Thus, damages to a private individual, as well as theft, which is a form of damage, are assessed leniently. Dav Kuf, so the Siman Dav Kuf is a kof, a monkey. So here goes. When the man exchanged a cow for a monkey, that must run Dav Kuf, kof, monkey. When the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, if one exchanges a cow for a donkey and the cow gave birth, or if one sells a shivcha and she gave birth, and the seller says the birth occurred before I sold her, and the offspring is mine, and the buyer says the birth occurred after I purchased her, and the offspring is mine, yalchaloku, they divide the value of the calf or slave child. The Gemara concludes the Tana Sumkas who holds, mamon amutal basafik chokim below shavua. Money whose ownership is in doubt is divided without a shavua. So, when the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, the monkey escaped and jumped on the backs of a small slave and large slave, which two men were arguing over who was sold, which reminds us, the Mishnah say that if the seller had two slaves or two fields of different sizes, and the buyer claims to have purchased the larger one, and the seller claims he sold the smaller one, the seller swears that he sold the smaller one. The Gemara raises three objections to the seller taking an oath and provides three answers. So when the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, the monkey escaped and jumped on the backs of a small slave and large slave, which two men were arguing over who was sold, and then swung on the branches of an olive tree which was sold for its wood, which yielded more than a ravias of oil, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one sold his olive trees for their wood, and the buyer did not remove them immediately, and they produced olives of such poor quality that a saw of them yielded less than a ravias of oil, they belong to the owner of the trees. If they produced olives which yielded more than the ravias, and the buyer says, my olive trees produce the olives, and they're mine, and the seller says, my land produced the olives by providing nutrients, yalchaloku, they divide the crop since they were both instrumental in producing the crop. Daf kuf olive, so the siman daf kuf olive is a bird caller going caw, caw. So here goes. The bird caller, that must be more daf kuf olive, caw, caw. The bird caller who snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if olive trees were swept by a river into someone else's field and produced olives there, the olives are divided between the tree's owner and the field's owner. Ravin quoted Reish Lakish saying that they're only divided if the trees were uprooted with their clods of soil, thus maintaining their status of having passed the oral prohibition period and only during the first 3 years. After the first 3 years, however, all the olives belong to the landowner because he can tell the owner of the trees, if I had planted my own trees 3 years earlier, would I not be eating all the produce after 3 years when the oral prohibition passes? So the bird caller snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, and planted a tree without permission to attract the rare kuf olive bird, expecting to be paid, which reminds us, Gemara says, Yordo toksado chavero, vanata shobur rishus, if one went down into his fellow's field and planted trees without the owner's permission, Rav says, they assess his expenses and the improvement's value, and he has the lower hand, meaning he's paid the lower of the two amounts. Shmuel says, they assess how much a person would want to pay for someone to plant trees in this field, and he pays that amount. Papa clarifies that there's no argument. Shmuel is discussing a field which is suitable for planting trees more than grain, and Rav is discussing a field which is not suitable for planting trees more than grain. So the bird caller snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, and planted a tree without permission to attract the rare kuf olive bird, expecting to be paid, was startled when his landlord used a bird whistle to notify him 30 days before Sukkot that he was being evicted from his home where he sold bird whistles when his rental term ends in the winter, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches the laws governing evicting a tenant at the end of his lease. As the Gemara explains, the Mishnah's rulings are lehodia, to notify a tenant that he'll be evicted. Thus, the Mishnah states that one cannot evict a tenant whose term ends in the winter when it's difficult to find other housing unless he notifies him 30 days before the winter season, meaning before Sukkot. In large cities where it's especially difficult to find housing, he must notify him a full 12 months before his term ends that he'll be evicted. Daf Kuf Beis, so the Siman Daf Kuf Beis is a cave. So here goes. The landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevil that was in his courtyard of the cave, that must be on Daf Kuv Beis. The landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevel that was in his courtyard of the cave he rented out, since Chatzer Shal Adam Konulo Shal Madaito, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous daf taught that if one rents his house to another, the zevel, the manure found in the courtyard, belongs to the landlord. The Gemara explains that the case is with the landlord's courtyard, which he did not rent out, as Rashi explains, and cows which came from elsewhere were standing in it. Since the cow's owners, presumably, were mafkir the zevel, the landlord acquires it with his chatzer. The Gemara notes that this supports the ruling of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Chatzer Shal Adam Konulo Shal Madaito. A person's chatzer acquires for him without his knowledge. So the landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevel that was in his courtyard of the cave he rented out since chatzer shel adam konulo shel madaito, and happily knows the eggs in the shovach, so he could do the mitzvah of shiluch hakein, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's ruling is challenged from a brayso which teaches that doves of a dovecot are subject to the mitzvah of shiluch hakein and are prohibited midrabbanan to be taken by others because of darchei shalom. According to Rabbi Yossi, the eggs should be acquired by the chatzer and be pater for shiluch hakein because the pasuk says ki yikra, if a bird's nest happens, prat l'mezumen, which excludes a nest which is at hand. Rabbi answers, an egg becomes obligated in shiluch when its majority leaves the mother's body, but it's not acquired by one's chatzer until it falls into its courtyard. It's during this interim that the braisa says the eggs are subject to shiluch hakein. So the landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevel that was in his courtyard of the cave he rented out, since chatzer shel adam konulo shel madaito, and happily knows the eggs in the shovach, so he could do the mitzvah of shiluch hakein, had come to collect half the 13 months' rent, since he had rented it at the rate of 12 dinar per year, 1 dinar per month, which reminds us, the next mishnah states that if one rented out a house for a year and a leap year was declared, adding a 13th month, the tenant does not pay extra. If it was rented per month, he must pay for the additional month. The Mishnah concludes with a story which the Gemara explains to reflect a new case of a rate of 12 gold dinarim for a year, 1 gold dinar per month, where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi ruled to divide the extra month's payment. Three opinions are recorded about this ruling. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which step to the question, if someone planted a tree in someone else's field without rishus, whether he can be paid in full? That's on Duff. Kufalov. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we discuss what the din is in a case of a property lease where the parties dispute how much time of the shtar has passed? That's on daf. Kufgimel. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we machlokas if a borrower acquires an item, such as a hatchet, with usage or meshicha? That's on daf. Tzaditas. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have a case where one borrowed a cow with the owner servicing him and then rented the cow without the owner servicing him? That's on daf. Tzadichas. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we discuss what the halacha is in a case of bari v'shema? That's on daf. Tzadizayin. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we discuss a leased field whose stream dried up or the fruit tree was cut down? That's on daf. Kuf Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we in a home rental of 12 dinarim per year, 1 dinar per month, the 13th month's rent is divided? That's on daf. Kuf Beis. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn when a shoel becomes liable when the cow dies in transit? That's on daf. Tzadichas. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn if one leases a field, either as an aris or as a hocher, everything goes according to the minhaga medina? That's on daf. Kuf Gimel. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we learn that the masker of a house acquires the zevel, the manure, in the courtyard, because chatzer shel adam konulo shel madaito? That's on daf. Kuf Beis. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is everybody, Avram Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.